This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Tauber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Hi guys, you're joined by Amy and Kate today because of course we're the maths gurus and we're excited to be joined by Drew from Married at First Sight today, and we're going to find out all about his experience on the show. And of course we've asked all the tough questions about his unicorn Cornelius, who we love, and we're also going to delve into some more important topics involving his mental health charity Kick On, as well as find out more about his band Drew Boys. So we hope you guys do enjoy the chat.
Hello, Kate and Amy. How are you doing?
Good. Thank you so much, by the way, for agreeing to speak with us. We're very excited because we're big fans of math. So.
Oh, true. I'm very excited.
We'll get straight into it because we know you're super busy. We wanted to hear, how is ISO going for you?
I actually feel a little bit guilty because I can honestly say I'm loving it. You know, respect to the people that are getting sick and people lost jobs and stuff like that, but it's been amazing for me. Look, I've come back to my tiny little country town where I grew up. My family's all out here. They've got a sheep and cattle property, and, you know, be back on the farm and just spending some really good quality time with my family. And my little nephew's like 1 year old, and he's like the cutest thing in the world. So, it's been amazing for me. Most of my stuff with my charity and music, I can still do that online from a laptop out here. So, yeah, I'm loving it.
That's so good. Have you done any baking? Because everyone seems to suddenly have become master chefs.
I've been, luckily enough, I've been getting back into mum's home-cooked food. So I've been working a lot. So, you know, big days, and whether we're out the farm or, you know, doing our online stuff. So mum's been cooking most of the meals, and it's just been, yeah, it's been amazing. It'll be a hard slog going back to cooking for myself again.
Is there anything that you've been watching or listening to that you can recommend to our listeners?
Look, I don't watch TV, so listening to? Look, I've been reading. I can highly recommend a book called The 12 Rules of Life by Jordan Peterson, and another one called The Art of Happiness by Howard Cutler. They're my two favourite books. Very good for your mental health and just the way to fulfil a positive life. So, yeah, highly recommend those two.
Oh, they sound like some great ones for people to get into.
A bit more wholesome than Married at First Sight.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, so had you ever seen Married at First Sight then before appearing on the show?
No, I had no idea what I was getting myself into.
So do you think you would have gone on the show if you'd seen it beforehand?
No. Look, no, I don't think so. If I knew what it was going to be like, I wouldn't have gone on it. But at the same time, I'm glad I did. I think, you know, so it's a bit contradicting, but, you know, I wouldn't, no regrets. I wouldn't take it back. But yeah, if I know myself, like if I knew what it was like, and I definitely wouldn't have been in there.
So what is the process of, so did you apply for the show or were you scouted?
No, they contacted me.
Oh, wow.
They actually contacted me not last year, the year before. And I had gotten basically all the way through to the end. And then they said, oh, look, you're a loser. We didn't find anyone for you this year. So I totally forgot about the show. Like, I still went through the whole process, I assume, as what everybody else did, with interviews and psych tests and questionnaires and stuff. They rang me again last year and said, are you still single? You're getting married in 6 days, basically. So I had 6 days to prepare, and yeah, it was crazy.
Wow. Can you tell us a little bit about what the wedding day was? Because, I mean, that is such a crazy day. And from what I've heard, it takes a very long time to actually shoot the day itself.
Yeah, the wedding day is hectic. I think they started filming at my house at like maybe 6:37 in the morning. And then, you know, you're not finished till probably, you know, almost midnight that night. So it's a huge day. You do a lot of stuff over and over again. But to be honest, like it was beautiful. It was amazing. Like when I play music, I do a lot of weddings because I love doing it. And I think it's such a beautiful thing. So that part of it was actually, you know, even though everyone knows that it's not real, but there's so much anticipation and it's just this beautiful place, and every, you know, you've got these amazing vows, and it's pretty hard not to get sucked right into it. And it's like, it was emotional, and just, yeah, it was really, you know, you've got all your friends and family there, and so do they, and it's, yeah, pretty crazy. I was very nervous.
What were your first thoughts when you saw Casey? Because obviously she's stunning, and I know sometimes the grooms in previous series, I suppose brides have been stitched up with people that they might not really be into. Were you pretty impressed when you saw her walking down the aisle?
Yeah, definitely. Look, I don't think there's a bloke alive that wouldn't be impressed by seeing Casey. Like, she's absolutely gorgeous. So it was a big relief. Like, I'm not all about looks, but it was, when I seen her, I'm just like, all right, cool. You know, I think all of my exes have been brunettes too, or had dark hair. So I'm like, oh yeah, cool. She had this beautiful smile, and yeah, she's absolutely gorgeous. And I've seen her eyes, and I'm like, oh yeah, she's got stunning eyes. So yeah, look, it was a big sigh of relief, and I was just, yeah, I was over the moon.
Can you tell us about the process where, because I know on the show we see people like sniffing T-shirts and going through different tests to kind of find the perfect one. We had Elizabeth on the show and she said, yeah, in fact, that is true. Was that kind of weird to be doing all of that sort of stuff?
We didn't do any of that.
Oh, really? Oh, that's interesting. No. Oh, you weren't smelling people's T-shirts, because I thought that sounded pretty weird.
I don't believe that at all. Like, I actually seen because I wanted to watch a few of the other people's weddings, and mm-hmm. you know, you meet these people and you get invested in, you know, they're your friends. So I wanted to watch their weddings and stuff, and I seen that part come up, and I was like, oh, we never did that. That might have been where they went wrong.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe that's why Lizzie and Seb worked out so well. They liked each other's smells.
Yeah. Look, Casey smells lovely. It definitely wasn't that. She showers quite regularly.
Now, one issue that came up a lot on the show between you and Casey was, of course, your housemate. Were you surprised there was so much on the show about all of this?
Yeah. Look, I'm just like, what is going on? And the thing was, it was a little bit of a tricky situation because, like, my housemate's one of my good friends, so I'd obviously asked her to come to the wedding, but she's like, no, I hate that show, and she didn't want to come, and she's quite introverted as well, so, you know, I didn't want to force that on her, and she'd actually been seeing one of my best, like, one of my closest friends for quite a while, but they hadn't made it official, so they have now, which is great, but it would have been handy if it, like, I think that's why I kind of freezed up a bit when I was asked about it, and I was like, yeah, it's just so silly. It's just such a silly thing, and they just kept focusing on it, and, it didn't really give us a chance to talk about anything else, and they didn't show any of the good times we were having or, you know. But, yeah, the magic of editing.
And I felt bad for your housemate because they kind of made her look like some kind of weird stalker putting a toy. It was just, it's a bit annoying that it's assumed that when a man and woman can't be friends.
Or housemates.
Or housemates, yeah. Did that annoy you that you can't be friends with a girl?
It was. So, and look, that whole teddy bear thing was probably the stupidest thing I've ever done, apart from not watching Mass before I went on it. But the teddy bear thing, literally, I just grabbed it on the way out of the house. It was, like I said, we had 6 days to get ready for this wedding. We had to write vows. I had to go get STD checks and blood tests and these things. I had to, like, cancel all my gigs for 3 months. I had to, you know, I run a charity as well, so there was so much to do. And on the way to the airport, on the way back home to grab my bags, we've seen a motorbike accident where this dude got his head split open. And I was just wigging out, and I literally just grabbed this teddy on the way out of the house, and that was it. You know, I didn't think anything of it until we got on the honeymoon, and Casey spotted it and was like all over it. So. But it was just one of those things.
So you have to get STD checks before going on Maths, do you?
Yeah, full medicals, STD checks. Wow. And I'm petrified of needles, so I was not in a good way.
So you needed the teddy bear, obviously.
I needed a teddy bear. I needed some comfort. It wasn't like a sentimental gift. Literally, it wasn't even for me. She just got it because she liked Rick and Morty. I just grabbed it on the way out of the house and it just became this huge fiasco.
Well, as I mentioned, I mean, our listeners don't know, but we had a little conversation beforehand when I asked if you wanted to be on the show. And I said that we very much understood why you had Cornelius. And this is, of course, your unicorn, because we're a lover of soft toys as well.
We're actually sitting in a room with two large penguins. I know that sounds really weird.
That's right. Drew gets it. Well, it was, our listeners might not, but
yeah. And what was funny was I was watching the show at my house, and when that scene came on with Cornelius, I literally text Amy, and Amy's got a boyfriend, but I said, oh my God, Amy, your perfect match is on the TV. And she had texted to me too. So, not to make things awkward, but yeah, we just found that really amusing.
It's funny because I've always just had weird stuff at my house. I love having different stuff. If we have parties, we have dress-up parties, and a lot of that stuff is just kind of left over from dress-up parties. And I did an interview out here at our mum and dad's the other day, and it was a video chat, and someone spotted something in the background. I turned around, there was all these like stuffed llamas in the background. I'm like, oh, well, maybe that's where I got it from.
I never had a home. Normal.
I was going to say, yeah, you'd love our office then. There is so much random stuff around. So I think, because when I watched the episode where Casey started going through your belongings, wanting to chuck stuff out, I almost had a bit of anxiety over it because I put myself in your shoes. What was running through your head when you saw her with some of your stuff in the bin?
Look, I think that was a little thing that Casey kind of fell for with the producers. They're very manipulative, and they kind of, you know, got it going about this and like, yeah, it'll be funny. Like, you know, grab your stuff and we'll chuck it out. And she kind of fell for it. And it was all right. Like most of that stuff I didn't give a shit about. And I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm happy for that to go. Like that's dirty, whatever. But there was a couple of things there. Like there was a bow tie from my cousin's wedding and then a hat that was my poppy's is no longer with us. So there's a couple of things where I'm like, I'm definitely, you know, these things are staying, but everything else can go. So it was all in good fun, but yeah, it's just so, you know, one of those things, man, like this, what you see on this show and what actually happens, and it can be very, very different a lot of the time, so.
Yeah. What about Cornelius, though? I mean, if the producers had pushed her and to throw Cornelius out, what do you think you would have done?
No, that was it. Hands on heads, sit on the floor, hunger strike. Cornelius is not going anywhere. he's still there guarding the house. I haven't been in Cairns for a month, so.
He's probably having parties and stuff at the house.
Probably is.
I think you touched on it on the show, but can you tell us the story behind Cornelius?
Cornelius, yeah. So we were going down to play a festival. I think it was Groove in the Moo with the band. And basically I was getting a heap of stuff for the stage. So we wanted to put on this amazing show, and I got a heap of like big glitter cannons and all this weird stuff to just kind of throw out into the crowd. And I seen Cornelius and I'm like, yes. Perfect. So we took him down in the tour bus and we were going to throw him out into the crowd. And then we kind of all just, you know, we're taking photos with him and stuff. And then we're like, no, Cornelius is going to stay. He can be the band mascot. So, and he just kind of ended up in my house and has just sat on the couch ever since. So
I love that. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
I was going to say, did you ever think to hide him? Because talk, you know, from someone who has a large penguin living in her house, I will hide him when new people come over who might not get it.
I don't know if you know the model Olivia Rogers. She came over to our house to do an interview. We'd sort of set it up on the spot and we forgot that we had, the big penguin just sitting there. And we were like, oh, shit. Like, we look like the biggest weirdos, but I don't know if she knows.
Embrace your weirdness, guys.
Yeah. Did you think to hide him or were you like, nah, stuff it?
Like, I had 6 days to go down and get married. We went straight from there to a honeymoon. And then within 6 days, we'd had a honeymoon, our first dinner party, moved 3 times and into the first commitment ceremony. And then the next week they said, all right, we're going to Cairns tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
I'd been away for 2 weeks recording new music before the show. So I literally landed, had 6 days, you know, like my house is so messy. I didn't have a chance. Like, literally, I ran in. I didn't have time to organize a cleaner. I ran in. I'm like, you guys have to stay out here. Like, literally, the whole film crew and Casey arrived at my house, and I ran in for 15 minutes and just tried to, like, clean it up a bit. I felt terrible, but it was just no notice and so hectic, you know? Like,
and you couldn't even ring your housemate because he'd probably be accused.
My housemate was away.
Yeah. That's, like, my nightmare. I feel like that's just giving me anxiety thinking of it because there's stuff that you want to hide, even just wiping down
just the making your house clean, you know, like it wasn't terrible, but it wasn't clean.
Yeah.
And, you know, my housemate being away, that just made things look even more sus because they were trying to make that a big part of the storyline and I didn't realise how big. And then, but she wouldn't have gone on the show anyway, like even if she wasn't. So, but yeah, fun times.
Yeah, so that's hilarious. I was going to ask you because we obviously saw the finale episode and yourself and Casey didn't seem to feature that much on it because there was obviously a lot of other drama going on with Michael and Stacey. Yeah. But, you know, the last we saw was you guys had decided to stay together, but then you've, of course, announced you'd split. What was it, if you don't mind us asking, was it the distance between you guys or just you've sort of drifted apart?
Look, I don't think the distance helped, but no, I just think we were completely opposite of what both of us look for in a partner. Like, you know, and to be honest, like I knew this very early on. You know yourself when you meet somebody, it doesn't take 6 weeks to find out whether you think you're going to be the right fit or not.
Mm.
And there was just a lot of pressure coming from the show and got to give this a try. And it was so hard the whole way through. And I'm like, you know, we're on the show, all right, I'll try everything I possibly can. And we got to the end and it was a pretty hard decision, but I'm like, maybe there is the tiniest little chance that maybe it was the pressures of the show and the manipulation from the producers and, you know, all of this horrible stuff. Maybe that's why, you know, we're not quite feeling it.
Mm.
And I just thought if it's just worth giving it a little try on the outside and just basically starting from scratch and forgetting about the show and trying to get to know each other in a normal environment. And it turns out the show was the glue holding us together.
Yeah.
It was so bad. And like, I'm not, you know, I've got nothing bad to say about Casey because I don't believe in that and we're past all that, but it was just, it wasn't good for either of us and it was very, very toxic and it went downhill very, very quickly. So, and we weren't in a good space when we went back to the reunion, I'll tell you that.
Mm. Well, just watching it, you could kind of tell, even though it's obviously very manipulated, what you see that you guys were sort of polar opposites. And now, of course, Casey's with Michael. And you've been really lovely from what I've read. You've been quite supportive of the relationship. Are you happy for them?
Yeah. Look, I think Michael is exactly what Casey should have been put in the experiment with.
Mm.
That's Casey's type. And I'm very far from Michael, so I'm stoked. I hope they go the whole way and, you know, it looks like they're very happy on their socials and stuff. And I still talk to Casey every now and then. And, yeah, look, I just wish them the best. I want, you know, even though we didn't work and we had a lot of really hard, tough times and you still form a bond if you go through something as stressful as that with somebody. We lived together for 6 weeks and I just wanted to be happy. So good on them.
Oh, that's lovely. I was going to ask, obviously, Casey and Michael, you said they sort of very much suited each other. Is there somebody else from the Mavs cast that you think you would have suited better?
Well, yeah, I've been asked this a lot. And, you know, like Connie was a big one that just keeps coming up and up. They actually made me go on a date with Connie during the show, but it wasn't aired. And they made Casey go on a date with Johnny as well. And look, I think Connie's awesome and said this on the show, like, very openly. I'm like, Connie would fit into my friend circle so well, like, so easily. But, you know, that's probably as far as it goes. And I think everybody on that show individually was pretty cool. And I can see why they got picked for the show and, you know. But on the outside, no, look, I was pretty happy with being with Casey. Like, I still felt quite lucky to have got her, I guess, even though she wasn't for me, but yeah.
Now you say that Connie, like, I can totally see that happening.
Yeah, Connie's cool,
man.
Yeah,
like, she's super chilled and, you know, we had heaps of chats on the show and we just laugh our ass off and, you know, it was great. Like, it wasn't forced and, yeah, Connie's a legend.
Not to pry, because I know you get these questions all the time, but are you still single for all the women listening or is there, or Connie? I'm just joking, but, yeah, we've got to ask.
Yeah, look, I went from being stuck in this experiment to coming out to having to pretend that I was with my ex-wife for a couple of months until the show aired, and now we're all stuck in isolation. So, I'm very single.
Would you, sorry, this is also a very random question, but we've got to ask because our listeners will want to know, if The Bachelor approached you, because I feel like you were so popular on there, would you ever go on another reality show like The Bachelor?
I've got a lot of messages and comments about this. I think I'm pretty scarred from the whole reality show ordeal. And I don't know. It would have to be a pretty good offer, I think. But
maybe check The Bachelor out first and then...
I actually have seen a couple of episodes of The Bachelor. I just don't watch TV, hey. Like, I'd rather just do other stuff. But, yeah, look, I don't know. Look, I'll see what happens. I haven't been asked to do it, that's for sure.
There's still time. I'd
like to never say never, you know. I'm open to all things, but, yeah, I'm not sure if I'm cut out for reality TV.
Well, moving on to something a little bit more important than maths and Bachelor, we wanted to find out more about your charity because it sounds so cool. I checked out your website and you guys are doing some amazing stuff. Can you tell us more about Kick On?
Thank you. Yeah, look, Kick On, I started Kick On maybe 3 years ago and, you know, it stemmed from my wedding being called off and that whole thing that I went through while I was working fly in, fly out. And... you know, I wanted to do something, give back, and Kick On came from that. And, you know, we do school talks, we go out to FIFO camps. FIFO's fly in, fly out, like gas and mining camps, too. Mm-hmm. Most people know that. But so, yeah, we get to do all these amazing things. And now, you know, just like everybody else, we're adapting. So we're about to bring out some, you know, online mental health talks and even some online, like, suicide intervention training and toolbox talks. So, that's coming very shortly. And, yeah, we're kind of spearheaded by a clothing brand, which is Kick On Clothing, which, you know, it helps us fund our programs and stuff because, you know, it's kind of just funded through myself and a couple of sponsors at the moment and through the clothing brand. But it also creates support networks in communities. So if anybody sees a Kick On shirt or a hat or a water bottle or whatever, they can feel comfortable to go up and start a conversation with the person that's wearing that. And, yeah, it's going really well, and I love it. It's really cool. I feel so blessed to be able to bounce between doing the charity work and playing music because I love both of them, and they're both, it's a very balanced way to live, and I love it.
It's so cool. I did see the Kick On stuff. I feel like everyone should be buying that in isolation because, let's be honest, we're all wearing tights and T-shirts and everything. So we'll put the link in our show notes if anyone wants to check out.
I'm so stoked to be able to bring out the new women's active wear stuff too. It's been a long way coming. So
it's so cool because I checked it out today. I was like, wow, this stuff is really cool. Like, I love the blue, and so you guys have done a good job. I also wanted to ask, I saw you posted on Instagram the other day about a lovely lady called Doreen, and it was just a gorgeous post. Can you tell us a little bit about who she is and what your connection is through Kick On? Because I understand Kick On was featured on the news and that's how you guys connected, is that right?
Yeah, Doreen, she's so beautiful. So, thing is, Wind News did a story on, we brought out a song with the old band. It was called FIFO, and it was all about living and working in the FIFO industry, and it kind of linked to mental health, and we were using that on the tour to promote positive mental health and basically start the conversation around it. And basically, Doreen, she's down in Cowra in New South Wales, but she had seen the news article and it really hit home for her because she had twin grandsons. Obviously, my name's Drew. One of them was called Drew and he actually took his own life. And her other grandson, the other twin, worked in the FIFO industry. So it really, I guess, triggered her and she felt compelled to get in contact with Wind News and just send it like a really lovely message to us, just saying that she really appreciated it and all this kind of stuff. So I managed to, hope I don't get anyone in trouble here, but I managed to get in contact with her through the news. I got them to give me her contact details and I wrote her a letter and just, you know, we became pen pals and we started writing letters to them, throw from each other. And it was just so cute, man. Like she was my Valentine on Valentine's Day one day. She's like this 80-year-old beautiful lady. Aww. And I sent her down like a CD and a heap of stuff. And yeah, she's just beautiful. Now we still talk now. We probably call each other once every couple of months and just check in. And
that's so lovely.
Yeah, it's yeah, she's awesome. It's really cool. Because I lost my grandma around that time too, so it was kind of cool. I kind of picked up a grandma. So.
Oh, that's so cute. Did she love watching you on maths?
Yeah, I did. I did have to let her know after, before it aired. I'm like, oh, because she's always like, oh, she doesn't have Facebook or Instagram, you know. So she's like, oh, can you send me down a photo? Like, I want to see what Cairns is like. And, you know, she's trying to get this image. And I'm like, well, you'll get to see it on TV now. So she was stoked.
Oh, that's adorable. You'll have to tell us a little bit more about your band as well, Drew Boy, because you guys have got an amazing single coming out that I'm so intrigued to listen to because it's called At First Sight, so one can only assume what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I've been lucky enough. We put out an album with that song under the name of Drew Boy and the Sax Addicts. Don't judge me on the name there. It was a long road trip when we come up with that. But, yeah, we had a sax player. Since then, I've done a couple of singles and music videos under the name of Drew Boy. And the new band's kind of just kept that name now because it's just easier, I guess. It's really hard to think of band names, actually. I consider myself quite creative, but it's super hard.
Well, there's so many that are taken as well, so many cool names. There's
so many that's taken, and you've got to kind of live with it forever, and it's like, I guess it's kind of like naming your kid. You don't want it to get picked on when it goes to school, you know. All this.
I like the name. So, I think you guys did well.
Oh, thank you. But yeah, so, you know, I wrote a song on the show, and it was an interesting process because most of my songs come from very emotional states of mind, and I think I really use it as therapy. So when I'm really emotional, so it's normally if I'm in love or if I've just broken up with somebody or like my heart's broken, or a lot of my songs are just about that. So it was quite interesting trying to write about Casey when, you know, we weren't in love and I was pretty sure it wasn't going to work. So I tried to write about the nice things about her and the whole process of the show and just what I was kind of going through in the show. So, and I wanted to just write something that everybody could relate to. And I think the whole concept of this arranged marriage is pretty far for people to understand, unless you're from India or something. But I think everybody can understand the concept that everybody is a stranger until you see them for the first time, until you meet somebody. There's a point in your life where we're all strangers. So I tried to write about that aspect of it. And yeah, I'm really, really happy. It's blown me away how good it's kind of come out. From a little acoustic song I actually, cool thing about it was I was sitting on the bed in front of Casey and I was just playing the guitar and I was just diddling around and I was trying to tell her how everybody writes music differently. I don't know how everyone writes theirs, but I'll come up with a little riff or a little something on the guitar and then I'll build off that and then I'll add words to it later, and it kind of depends on the whole vibe of the music. And I started doing this in front of her just to kind of explain the process. And then I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. And I turned that into the song. So, and then, yeah, I played that for her on the last date, final date when we were on the boat. So
that's heaps good. When can fans download the song?
It will be coming out very shortly. We're just waiting on the music video to be finished. And so for the music video, I wanted to kind of include everybody, and I guess it's really strange, hard times at the moment, and I wanted to try and use the music video as a way to kind of inject some positivity back into the world. So, I've asked for everybody to send in videos of them with their loved ones and just having cyber dates and hanging out with their kids and getting romantic in isolation.
That's really cool. And, I love it.
Yeah, so we've got quite a few submissions already. We could probably use a few more if you guys want to send some stuff in with your penguins, that would be totally acceptable.
Cool. Oh, wow. We might have to send something fun over with them, publicly out ourselves as penguin lovers. We already have this podcast, so. Oh, wouldn't it be cool if we got Cornelius and one of our penguins together? Maybe they can Skype each other.
Yeah. We'll try and keep it PG.
Well, they're both boys, but not that there's any judgment there. No. It's 2020.
Oh, yeah,
yeah,
true.
Yeah. Well, just lastly, what can, I suppose, fans of yours expect? I suppose with 2020, it's all been sort of thrown into disarray. But what can people expect to see from you for the remainder of the year?
Obviously a single coming out. But...
yeah, no, look, I think I've got 5 singles there ready to be released. The mental health charity, you know, we're about to start doing, like I said, online training and some online really cool mental health discussions, like interview style, kind of like what you're doing with me right now.
Cool.
And we've created this, it's called the Kick On Cafe. So people can come and, you know, we'll interview a special guest each week. And, yeah, it should be really cool and we'll have a lot of fun with it and a lot of laughs. So the co-founder of Kick On, Gus, is absolutely hilarious. And we get along like a house on fire, so it should be quite entertaining. And, yeah, look, I'm really stoked. We've got another collaboration with an amazing nutrition brand, which, yeah, they're doing some pretty groundbreaking stuff, and they've included ingredients in their supplements that are great for your mental health as well as your physical health, which hasn't really been done before. Wow. With, like, yeah, like ingredients like MCT, lion's mane and mushrooms and things like that. So I'm really excited to get them on board, and it's kind of a big deal. And, yeah, there'll be some pretty cool stuff happening pretty soon in that space. And, yeah, look, you won't see me selling teeth whitening kits. I want to do something a bit more wholesome with this platform, and I really hope I can use it to help some people and have some fun. And, yeah, there'll be heaps to come. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much for joining us on the show. We've thoroughly enjoyed talking to you.
Anytime, girls, women, ladies, whatever you like to be called.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, thanks so much for having me on. And, yeah, you guys have fun with those penguins.
Yeah, you too. Hopefully Cornelius isn't too lonely.